Celebrating Women in Animation, where we explore the ups and downs of making a career for yourself. I'm your host, Cassie Soliday. Typically, we have one guest on the show, but today we have two spectacular women. Catherine and Sarah Satrin are animators and illustrators who happen to be twins. So far, everyone I have interviewed on the podcast has lived in California. These gals live in Chicago and have found success freelancing on commercial projects, an independent music video, and even animated on Hulu's The Awesomes. We discuss college, moving into the professional realm, and the idea of feast and famine when it comes to finding work.
We're freelance animators and illustrators in Chicago, and we are twins. And we've always been drawing from a young age, and even when we were little, we loved to like frame through animation, frame by frame, and just it was so beautiful. It was something we were always drawn to, so we both naturally drew all the time and just kind of ended up going in the same career. So,
what kind of films did you like freeze frame through?
Oh, just a lot of Disney movies. Mm-hmm. I remember. Oh, but just a ton. I know a lot, like in Hunchback.
We in Hunchback too. But we also, when we were like really little, we had a, I don't know, it was some old thing where you kind of like, it was kind of like a little toy projector kind of thing, but it was like in this little box thing. I can't remember.
It had these old cassettes. They were yellow cassettes, and you'd put it into the little projector box, and you'd hand crank it, and it would, all these cassettes would each have like a different animation on it. So we would, like stuff like from Robin Hood and them dancing, or Mickey Mouse, like the haunted house one episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so cool. I don't remember those.
But crank it and it would project it onto the little screen, a little monitor on the front of the toy. So that was really influential for us. Like just from a really young age, seeing that like frame by frame animation. So I think that was like the first thing. Seeing it that young made a big impression on us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think maybe we should also, maybe you should say your name so we know which voice belongs to who.
Okay. Well, I'm Catherine, and I'm Sarah. So our voices sound really similar, so it may get a bit confusing.
Well, it's kind of cool because you guys kind of operate as a unit as well.
Yeah. We try really hard not to confuse people.
So where did you go to school, and what year did you graduate?
We went to Columbia College, and then we graduated in 2005. We went there for film and studied animation. But before Columbia College, it really helped that we went to junior college, Joliet Junior College, to do fine art. So we got a good foundation doing the fine arts. So that really helped lend itself to, you know, doing your drawing skills, like drawing and painting, all that, those skills first, and then going to film school to do animation. So that helped a lot. That really helped us get a good head start, and then going, you could tell people who didn't learn their foundations, who had just gone straight into film and straight into animation without having any, like, you know, figure drawing background or anything like that. And it's also good to do all your, you know, basic, all the classes at a junior college, get all your gen eds out of the way.
I did not do that, and I totally agree. In, like, retrospect, I wish I had done the junior college first.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I went to Columbia as well, and they definitely taught me how to animate, but, like, there was only, like, one figure drawing class by the time I went through that was, like, mandatory, and I totally wish I would have done more.
Yeah.
So, I recommend that to everyone as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird, because some people just have, like, a huge stigma against junior colleges, but it's really great. I mean, it helps a lot. So, I think just more people should be open to those paths, you know, it helps you a lot. And money-wise, too, that helps.
That was a big help.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, yeah.
So, you both wanted to go into animation. Did that just happen naturally as you guys had the same interests when you were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, as growing up, even in, like, in grade school, like, all of our friends and teachers, everybody knew that we were going to be, you know, we were going to be artists. And then it was also kind of pretty obvious, like, we just always were interested in animation, because it's like, you want to be an artist, but you also want a career, something where they're going to pay you to actually draw, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of limiting. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, obviously we were just into animation so much through our whole lives that it was just pretty obvious. It was just a very natural course to take. So, yeah. And that's what we were exposed to. So it makes sense. Yeah. That's how we both ended up. Yeah. I mean, we could have easily just gotten into illustration too, but we were just, we loved animation so much from framing through and pausing the movie, you know, pausing the films. And that was back when you had the VHS and the really bad pause and the lines going through and you're just trying to skip images. But I mean, it was great. So yeah, it was pretty obvious.
Were you scared when you graduated or were you pretty optimistic?
Well, we were really optimistic because we didn't really know what, we'd never really talked to anybody to know really what it was like to do freelance animation about all the ups and downs. And so we were really naive and optimistic, and we were lucky because we actually got jobs right away.
Nice.
So, freelance jobs. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, we kept very busy. It's very easy to get scared. Like, a lot of people get really intimidated or afraid, you know, but you gotta like just jump right into it. Like, you just gotta start, you know, practice interviews and having your portfolio reviewed and doing all that while you're still in school, which we did. We took full advantage of any opportunity we had to prepare ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when we graduated, we were fully prepared with our reels, resumes, like everything ready to go. So we started freelancing immediately.
Oh, great. And is that when you started working for Calabash?
We had waited a few months. Like, we had started, well, because we were picking up some smaller, like, we had a few, there was like a one or two maybe non-pay type little, like something small first. And then we like did some like storyboarding and concept art, some other work for a little bit. And then by the end of that year after graduation, then we approached Calabash and like interviewed there probably like in the fall. And then we started on a job in that December. So that December after graduation, then we started there. Mm-hmm. But it took us a little while before we interviewed there.
Yeah,
so it's a bit intimidating.
Yeah. Kind
of, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Work ourselves up to that.
Yeah.
And while, you know, freelancing with them, you've gotten to get your hands on some really, really big characters, like in commercials and stuff.
Yeah, we worked on Trix Rabbit and all the characters in there for the cereal commercials, as well as Lucky Charms,
Leprechaun,
and all the kids, you know. So we've worked on like all of the characters through those. So that's for commercials. We did those. And then later on, some My Little Pony commercials came through for the toys.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we also worked on all the My Little Pony characters through the years as well.
How does that feel to like work on characters that you like grew up watching on TV?
It was really exciting. Like, we were happy to have the opportunity. So everyone who's there working on it, like, we're all excited to work with those characters. So so that was great. Yeah.
That's a wonderful environment to be in then.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's just happy to be there working. Like, yeah, it's just fun work with a lot of passionate people. So it's a very good environment.
Yeah. So there's a lot of advice that students hear these days, like how you have to move to Los Angeles to be successful in animation. What are your thoughts on this and what keeps you in Chicago?
We've seen across the years, we've seen a lot of people move out to LA and some like take a while to find work, but then they do really well. And others just find work right away and do fantastic. But that doesn't, like, people didn't tell us that you had to move, you know, to LA or do anything. Like, no one told us that. And we're like, well, and we didn't want to do that anyways.
Yeah.
So that was never like our intentions. I know a lot of people want to work for big studios and stuff, but, you know, for everyone has to do their own thing. And for us, Chicago is like, we're all of our family. Like, we grew up in the suburbs and we moved into the city, you know, after we graduated, and, this city is so beautiful and wonderful and all of our friends and family are here. So it works for us. So we're staying here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just can't imagine living anywhere else. It would just be weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, you know, I love it. I mean, yeah, there's not as much of the work here in Chicago, but, I mean, you can keep, you know, you can keep busy enough, you know. So, yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't have to work in studio a lot of places now. I mean, they'll send you work. So if you find places that are willing to do that, it'll work out. And through the years, yeah, I mean, a lot of studios through the years lately, we've been working from home for, you know, studios based out, like, yeah, in L.A. or California, or, like, you know, or Canada, or one time it was another country. I mean, you know, so you could work for other studios outside of your state and just work from home. It's important to live where you want, or, you know, work where you want to live, and you'll be happy.
That's cool. Like, how do you network in order to be able to be open to those opportunities?
You know what? Everything, like pretty much all of our jobs come to us through word of mouth. So when you work with someone at a studio or on a personal project or whatever, you know, your name gets passed around when people are looking for, you know, for animators or artists mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's just, it's really word of mouth. And then just then after a while, also then building up your resume, you know, once you have enough on your resume, then also people will find you just online and stuff. And we get work. I don't know. We just get work all different ways. And just, we attending networking events and conventions, all that kind of stuff.
Any animation meetups, like when we were in college, we used to attend like a monthly or whatever, an animation meetup mm-hmm. that we go to. So, you know, we met a few people through that, and then just any events we can go to, try to network through that. It's really hard to network, but it just kind of comes about, and stuff will come later as time. Yeah.
Cool. Well, what was your first paid professional job in the industry?
I think the very first one was, it's hard to remember because we did some storyboarding stuff too, but I think the very first one was, we did a bunch of concept art for a client who, he found us online through, I think it was MySpace.
Yep.
way back then, in the MySpace days, he saw our icons and we had little cartoon looking icons and he liked the artwork on it. So then he contacted us about doing some artwork. So it was like storyboards, character design, storyboards, and concept art.
Yeah, and concept art.
So, and we did that whole variety of stuff for him. And he was taking, he had really cool, just fun story ideas for animation to be pitched mm-hmm. to, like, Crunchy Network, Nickelodeon, like, you know, different studios like that. So, and he's actually been he's a really good client to work with. We've worked with him a few times over the years. We might be working with him again soon. So, yeah. It's like, you never know. Like, all those things lead to different things.
Yeah. So just be open is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other, like, highlight projects that you've worked on since then?
So some of, like, there are specifically, like, yeah, two larger, like, really big personal projects, you know, for other people that we've done. Big undertaking was Chris Olsen's Carl Doll and the Golden Cube. That was all in Flash. I think it was, like, what, about 11 or 12 minutes long.
Mm.
Did all in Flash. So Catherine and I, we both did a lot of work on animation, and then also two other artists as well did storyboards and animation and some background art. So it's like four artists working really hard on this. It was like, 11 or 12 minutes. So it was a huge undertaking, and we just worked really hard on that one. So that was really nice to see that come all together. And then also through connections from working on that job, connections. We also worked on recently another project. You can explain it.
So there's a local musician here in Chicago. Her name's Linda Marie Smith. She teaches at Old Town School of Music, and she's very talented. And one of her recent CDs is Miara Selkie from the Sea. She wanted to have artwork projected behind them through the hour-long concert.
Mm-hmm.
So she found us through someone else, through somebody else who had worked on the previous project with us. We got hooked up and saw, like, we clicked right away. It was fantastic, and it was very artsy. It was totally done, you know, everyone was in it for, like, the love of the project, and it was a great project to work on, and totally, you know, different from all the other projects we had done, and we just got to do a lot of illustration work, and we just kind of pegged and just moved things slowly, you know, across stage, because it was an hour concert. So,
oh, wow.
So you couldn't, like, animate everything.
Well, and you don't want that overly distracting.
And you don't want to distract people from the musician. So we just did, like, artwork that would kind of float behind them.
Uh-huh.
So that's a really big highlight. So it was fun to do something fun,
just different and artsy, you know, just totally opposite of everything else that we work on. Yeah. I love those kind of projects.
There had to have been, like, a pretty huge learning curve on, like, that project, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, both of those jobs. Yeah, definitely.
the first one, Carl Doll and the Golden Cube, that was the first big project we did. We had done little things in Flash, but that was, like, the first big undertaking of doing a whole film in Flash. Mm-hmm. So, because, we were used to working on paper before all the time, so just going digitally and then doing that. You know, we did Flash, but that was the first big project, so that was fun. But, and then for Linda's project, Miara, that was a big undertaking, just because,
you know, so many people were involved in the project and just trying to find the vision of what everybody wanted and then figuring out how we were going to do it and execute it. Mm-hmm. We had to just play around. That was fun because we had to just play along with a lot of development for that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we took some time in the beginning, you know, part of it. And then that project kind of just kept growing and growing, like way beyond what it was originally going to be. So, I mean, yeah, it was definitely a big learning curve on that one, too. Just, you know, trying to do something that massive.
Yeah. How many people worked on it?
It was the two of us.
Well, on the artwork,
mm-hmm. It was just us two.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, you know, she's got her whole, you know, yeah.
Right.
The other side of it. Yeah, but the visual side, it was the two of us executing all the art. And then about, you got 3 to 4 people on the production side of it, you know, giving ideas and, you know, just kind of guiding it. We'd have regular meetings, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys kind of like created your own pipeline then.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah,
because had you worked on anything where you guys were in charge of the pipeline?
No. Just like small, you know, the little small projects, but nothing like that large. Yeah, nothing massive, like, you know. but we all broke it down in such small chunks. It didn't feel daunting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fine because we did it, you know, across some time and, you know, we just did like a song, like one song at a time type thing. And then we'd like do chunks. And then when we had done like a lot of the songs, then we decided, oh, you know, now we're going to fill in these other gaps. And then we did that as another pass actually later. So, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Mm. You just had to take it one step at a time. Yes. Otherwise it could get too overwhelming.
Right. So you had done like a project before this and in Flash, you said?
Yeah.
But this was like the bigger undertaking that you've used it?
Yeah. So Linda's, her project Miara, so that was much larger because it was a whole concert. So this was, it was just more of an illustration job because we did a lot of the drawings. We did illustration work in Photoshop, and then we were using After Effects and Toon Boom Harmony. We like created like nice gentle moves and like background mm-hmm. animation to go with it. So so it was a bigger job.
Right.
Yeah, that was a much bigger job than the other one.
So, like, having originally focused in hand-drawn animation, like, how did you manage to transition to fully digital? It kind of sounds like you just learned on the job.
Yes. we watched a lot of tutorials on Toon Boom's website, and luckily they have wonderful tutorials. It was great. And then also the studio brought in a representative from Toon Boom. Oh. And he came down for a week, and we actually had this really intensive week-long workshop learning their digital animation techniques.
That's awesome.
That was a very helpful and very great, generous that they were able to do that for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any, like, during, like, your entire freelance career, have you had any dark days where you wondered if you would ever work again?
I think everybody kind of faces
it's like feast
things.
Or famine.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's ups and downs.
But something we're really optimistic. I mean, even when there's like, you know, if you're in a slow time, we're still trying to be optimistic and stuff still comes through. I'm like, we'll be like, oh, it's so slow, but then we'll still be keeping busy with, illustrations and like some commissions and other stuff. And, so it's never too bad because there's always something around the corner. As long as you keep being mm-hmm. persistent and trying and keep working on your skills and keeping out there. It's been working for 10 years, so far. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You never know, though. Exactly.
Right. So you have now been working for about a decade in animation, 10 whole years. How does that feel?
It's kind of crazy. Like, time just flies. Every year seems to go faster. It feels like it's more been, like, 5 years. It doesn't feel like it's been 10 years. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't feel like 10 years. I don't know. Yeah, it's just...
Happened. Well, here's to another decade. So how have you been able to work together on so many projects? Like, do you ever worry that an employer would want to hire one of you instead of both, or are you a package deal?
Oh yeah, no, we're not worried about that. I mean, it's, you know, we're not always a package deal.
Yeah,
we are both individuals and we both worked on like our own you know, we worked on smaller jobs separately before, so mm-hmm. We haven't done, like, every job together. So, I mean, if they can hire, usually we do people hire both of us, but if someone just needs like an illustration or someone just has like one scene to hand out or something, it's, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, yeah. I mean, if we ever like get like full-time jobs and it's like only one of us or something, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, whenever. It's just, the thing is, it's just animation is usually such a collaborative field, you know, studios, they have a lot of artists, so it's just natural, you know, that you work in teams, so it's natural that we often work together because those jobs are so large, you know. So it all depends on the needs of the studio, you know, what the job is.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's so beautiful because you guys have a very similar style, and, like, I'm sure you guys could easily work together, like, kind of like mind-melting. I've looked through, like, your reels and stuff, and it just seems very fluid, like, your processes between each other.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, and that helped a lot. Back when we did hand-drawn animation, several years we were doing that, and, we would often, like, we'd each animate our own scenes separately, you know, just the rough animation. But when it came time to the cleanup process in the studio, we'd often get, like, a larger scene that was, like, way more drawings, you know? And
we kept getting assigned the larger, over 100 drawings.
We kept getting the larger scenes because we worked so well together. And with hand-drawn animation, you had to make it look like it's one artist.
Right.
So we were very, very good at collaborating, like, you know, working on one scene together. So, yeah.
Living and working as a freelancer, most of the time it's patchworking jobs together, commissions and personal products that keep you going and getting paid. How do you keep enthusiastic and strategic about finding work?
Well, yeah, it's really important to not burn out, and you have to really stay positive. I think in this career, you know, this career field, a lot of people burn out, you know, and get discouraged and stuff. So I think you just need to really... you know, stay positive and be inspired. And then looking around you, you know, to your friends, meeting up with other artists, watching animation. Like, I really like it. You know, I just love watching things like The Secret of Kell, Song of the Sea, Ernest and Celestine. How do you pronounce that? Celestine. And then Triplets of Belleville, things like that. You gotta just, you know, that helps you stay positive. And then seeing other stuff outside of, you know, other movies and just being out in nature and just like going to museums. Like, oh my gosh, we're lucky that we have the Art Institute Chicago right here. It's just beautiful. Like, it's just, I'm always inspired there. And you gotta just, you know, feed yourself, like, you know, the artistic things.
Totally.
So it's like that. And you gotta just stay positive. And then, you know, you have to just, like, keep active with drawing and illustrating and, you know, being active online and connected to everyone. And then things like that, just all of those kind of things just leads to more, you know, jobs or connections, commissions, stuff like that. Networking, a lot of networking, you know. Oh, and then, we also like work on our own, you know, illustrations and on the side. So, that's why we have our Etsy store and we have some stuff up on Society 6. So, having those, extra little, sales and, you know, that gets you out there have some, a little bit more side work. So that's helped.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of times your personal artwork will lead to jobs. So,
and that's
everything is kind of tied together.
Yeah. And that's actually led to like a lot of commission work too. So that's been great.
Yeah.
Do you guys make your own artwork when you're like working on bigger projects, or do you wait till it's a slow time?
We try to find the time when you're working on bigger jobs. Like, it depends. Like, if we're working on, like, commercial work, sometimes we'll have a little bit more time to work on our own artwork on the evenings and weekends. But if you're working, like, one of those larger jobs where it's, like, that high quota type jobs based out of LA, like those kind of things, then then you just let those ideas sit on the side and wait till the project's done. You know, you just need to give yourself a break. You know, you can't be drawing 24/7.
Yeah.
You need to give yourself a break. You need to know when to, you know, stop.
Yeah.
So then when a giant project like that does end, then you have this creative flow of, like, you just be able to just draw and illustrate as much as you want. That's great. But no, that is really hard, though. If you are on a demanding job, depending on the project, you're not going to, you know, after working so long all day, you're not going to make yourself go crazy trying to, like, continually work on, you know, your extra own thing. Unless you have the energy and want to.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of artists. Yeah, there's a lot of artists who do that. And they go nonstop. And after so many years, you know.
Yeah. It's really important to make sure you keep seeing your friends and doing other things, too. So, you know, it just depends on the project and how much extra time we have.
Yeah. It's different for everyone.
Yes.
Do you guys have kind of a routine, like a daily routine? Do you have like a start and end time to your day?
No, you know, well, it depends like what project you're working on, but yeah, like once we're on a certain project, it is a really big routine.
Oh yeah.
Like we have a set, you know, schedule that we're up and like working by like, you know, 8 or 9 and then we like work, you know, through the whole day until like some, you know, early evening or so. But anyways, it depends on the project.
Every job is completely different. And then when we're in between studio jobs, like when we're just working on like people's personal projects or commissions, then our schedule's totally different. You know, it's just like, our schedule's always changing.
Like, oh yeah. And then when you're not on like a studio project or a big job like that, and then you're working on the smaller projects, then it's really easy and it's really great. Then like shifting and getting other stuff done in the morning and then really working the whole afternoon and late into the night and falling into that is a different schedule. So it just depends.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds exciting that it changes so often.
I love that about freelancing, because freelancing, you're just always doing something different, you know, instead of if you had one specific studio job, it's always kind of like the same, you know? So I don't know. I really like freelancing.
So in your personal illustration works, it feels like you both aim to create positive imagery that's inspiring, whimsical, and kid-friendly. What is your process when deciding what to create?
You know, it's always different. So, like, every single idea comes differently. There's, like, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just, it's always different.
There's, like, no one set way to go about, like, you know, a lot of times it'll come up, yeah, especially with stuff that's positive. Like, we love to do a lot of positive imagery. So, for that, it's more about the message first, and you're thinking about different ways you can, like, you know, come up with a good way to visually represent your idea. Or, like, if, you know, you're just sketching and you come up with, like, a really pretty visual, then that drawing or the idea that comes first. So it depends what comes first, just the visual or the idea, and then you work through it.
With your artistic process, who do you feel like are your mentors? Talk about your inspirations.
Yeah, I mean, we're inspired by a lot of different artists. It's just, you know, I feel like I don't want to be inspired too much by only, like, one or two people. Like, you know, it's best to be inspired by a whole variety of people. Like, all the, like, studios, like, you know, Cartoon Saloon, and then, of course, Disney, but you don't want to be overly influenced by Disney, but it's hard not to, because, you know, it's your whole childhood. you know, and then just different things.
And seeing, like, Miyazaki.
Yeah, things then, like Miyazaki stuff. Yeah, I mean, we love, of course, from the drawing and art aspect of it, of course, it's like, it's really, Glenn Keane's a huge inspiration. It's just this flow of lines and stuff. So, you know, from him, you take, like, that part of it, like, Glenn Keane's drawing, you know, the flowing lines and just raw drawing. Like, he's a fantastic artist, you know. So you take that inspiration. And then from, like, things like Cartoon Saloon's work is so visual, graphic and just really beautiful, and that's a whole different kind of, you know, thing. You take elements that you're inspired from there, you know, so it's just like a whole variety.
And then like all the shows on like Cartoon Network and everything that's fun and like bold and animated, we're very inspired by that too. But it's just a matter of like just being inspired by so many different outlets, and you know, that kind of comes out as, you know, it's all in your brain and just comes out in different ways in your art.
Then from all of those, you find your own style and your own voice, you know.
So what do you wish you knew as a new graduate that you know now?
Yeah, I think that we, you know, we keep saying this a lot, actually, lately.
Just lately.
In the past, like, year or two. We keep saying that, you know, back when we were in college, I just wish they taught you more about being, like, you know, an independent, you know, you're
you're your own business. You're self-employed. They never really talked about that in school much.
And we learned good to kind of take a business class.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you should, in school, it would be nice to learn more, like, business classes and things, like, on the business side of handling stuff.
Like, you know, like, contracts. Like, it would be great to learn what you should do, like, if you wanted to be set up more of a business and have contracts and, like, what to do with clients, like, if different issues. And we've been really lucky. We haven't had any issues with anybody. And a lot of people are very casual and great to work with. But it would be great to learn more on the business side. Yeah.
I would agree with that.
And
taxes. And
absolutely.
Yes. It's still like, you're always learning about what you should do.
Yeah. And also, like, learning more of a variety of skills so that you do have more backup, you know, backup plans and things and just more, just more skills, whether it's like art skills or other job skills or, you know, just enough skills on hand to keep you going.
And to just keep employed. Well-rounded.
Yeah.
Are you guys continuing to learn new skills and everything, even though you've been working for a while?
Oh, yeah. No, always, ever since we finished college, like, right away, like, we had started taking more independent kind of art classes.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for several years. And then and since then, I mean, we've also just been continually watching more tutorials and stuff on like more of the digital animation side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then learning little bits across the years. We've been learning more and more After Effects. And so that was something else that we didn't learn a lot of in school. So, we keep learning more and more every year.
Yeah. So, yeah, we want to continue to keep learning more on After Effects. And eventually, I've always wanted to learn, like, 3D sometime. But, you know, there's never enough time to learn and know everything you want to do.
Yes.
There's just not enough time.
And we keep really busy with what we do already. So,
whenever
we do have free time, there's always something we want to learn.
Yeah, I just think that everyone should be continuing to learn through their entire lives. You're never too old. So, like, you know, you need to always keep learning. Yeah. It's very important.
So what's next for you both? Like, do you plan ahead as a business or talk about the future often?
You know, we're always just trying to line up jobs. So, like, in terms of talking about the future, it's just always, like, what's the next job, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't, like, go that far.
Well, I mean, while we were talking, we've been talking about, you know, we'd like to do more and more illustration work, more jobs with illustration, and maybe sometime down the road, like, illustrate a children's book or do a comic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some dreams that hopefully we can do. But you know, really, we're just always, you know, worried about working on just lining up the next job and just continuing to network and continuing to produce art.
Yeah, it's just important not to stress overly too much. I mean, you can do a certain amount of planning and just, you know, things happen, things come.
Mm-hmm. So where can our listeners find out more about you and your artwork?
At sketchyduo.com, SKETCHYDUO.com, and on Facebook at Art of Catherine and Sarah Saturn. And that's Saturn, SATRUN, not Saturn. I get that problem all the time.
Really? That would be pretty cool, though, the Saturn twins. It sounds very Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that the Saturn sisters were able to come on the show to discuss their careers and philosophies on working in the business. Chicago is a beautiful city, so I completely understand why they haven't thought about leaving. If you enjoy the podcast, please share and rate on iTunes. It helps us grow and reach more people who may need some encouragement over life's speed bumps on the way to their animated dreams. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. And these interviews with women who are successfully making a career in the business are the perfect dose of inspiration to carry on. Your help and support is so appreciated. You can like us on Facebook at Ink and Paint Girls Podcast, on Twitter at Ink, the letter N, Paint Girls, or email us with any questions at inkandpaintgirlspodcast@gmail.com. The Ink and Paint Girls Podcast is produced in Burbank, California. Theme song courtesy of TV's Kyle. The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent those of our respective employers. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Girls Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.